Good morning, Ebenezer Church. You doing good?
Yes.
Awesome. I'm Shane Wilbanks. It's my honor and privilege, and I'm so excited to be with you guys. I remember coming to this amazing church back in the 80s. You see, I grew up in a small little redneck village not far from here called Maysville. Anybody ever heard of Maysville? Yeah, I'm just a hick from the sticks, just over yonder somewhere. But I remember coming to this amazing church for revivals and crusades, and it made a huge impact on my life as a teenager, to the point where I trusted Christ alone to make me right with God the Father. And I've never been the same, to the point where I felt the Lord Jesus calling me to ministry, and I attended just down the street right here, Toccoa Falls Bible College, and majored in youth ministry, graduated in 95. And for over 20-something years, I've been a full-time pastor of students and families, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generation. Everybody say, next generation.
Next generation.
You see, today is going to be all about kicking off Vacation Bible School. And we know Vacation Bible School stands for what? VBS stands for what? That's what I meant to have said. VBS stands for what? Vacation Bible School. That's what happens when you talk too fast. You just twist it all around. But today I believe that this is going to be a great kickoff as we talk about the very best spiritual week. So if you're taking notes, pull out your bulletin, grab a pen, and that's your first answers this morning, is very best spiritual week. I'm a daddy of 5 kids. I've been married 26 years to my beautiful wife, and the Lord's blessed us with 4 boys and a girl, Noah, Eli, Samuel, and Timothy. I call my 4 boys my 4 knights. And then the Lord blessed us with a princess, amen? And she's as beautiful as her mother. Her name's Elizabeth Grace, and we're also foster parents, helping and ministering and blessing this little girl. But I'm telling you what, she's a blessing to us. It's like the gospel in our living room as we get to love on her and be mom and dad to her for this season. We were also, my wife and I have been married 26 years. We were foster parents early on in a way, because we worked for the Georgia Baptist Children's Home and Family Services just up the street, not far up 85, where a famous baseball player came from. You guys know what I'm talking about? Ty, is it Ty? What's his name? Say it again. Ty Cobb, that's what I thought. Ty Cobb. What's the name of the town? Royston, that's right, Royston. So we lived in this huge colonial house that Georgia Baptist provided for us, and after being married for 3 months, my wife and I instantly had 8 kids. So we were foster parents, or worked for the foster system in a way, being house parents for neglected and abused children and teenagers ages 8 to 18, and instantly had 8 of them living in our home. And it was cool to love on them and minister to them. And it's almost like God's brought us full circle now as we also still minister to this beautiful foster baby. As I travel, I don't only speak and preach like I've come from Egypt just a few years ago. I was able to preach the gospel in front of thousands. I've traveled the nation. I'll be in Texas for a lot of youth camps this coming summer, as well as Colorado and some other places. I love preaching at churches, to children, to teenagers, Disciple Now's camps, but also getting into the public schools and giving them hope. Does that make sense? Giving them hope. Can't really provide the gospel in that environment, but we can talk about anti-bully, anti-drugs, and the importance of character. But I'm here to tell you, character without Christ is counterfeit. So you're in a good place today where you can understand the truth of the gospel, that it all hinges on Christ. But I also enjoy not just preaching and teaching, but paintings. I'll do art and paintings. Sometimes I'll hang upside down by my ankles and paint upside down. Yeah, don't believe that one. Don't believe that one. No. I realized early on it's a lot easier just to turn the canvas upside down. So I turn the canvas upside down, and I'll do a painting during the worship band or a praise song, and then at the end spin the canvas around and reveal what it is. It's a cool thing to do. But I also enjoy doing illusions and just kind of magic tricks, just trick of the eye. Would you guys like to see an illusion this morning? Oh, okay, we won't do that then. Oh, well. What's that? Somebody said, come on. Would you like to see an illusion this morning?
Yeah.
All right, I brought with me just a little bit of money here. It's in my wallet. Hey, brother, can I give this to VBS? Awesome. Take this, put that in the love love offering plate. Thank you so much. Give it up for VBS one more time. I'm going to be honest with you. I usually don't pull down the invisible zipper and let you see behind reality for me, but this is the truth. This is the truth. This actually just happened. My wallet's supposed to shoot off flames like fire. Steve's a great buddy of mine. Steve, can you testify? Have you seen this as we've traveled together around the nation? Like the flames would be this high. But because of COVID or something, I don't know, it didn't work today. So you were supposed to have seen just a second ago, flames this high, and then the money pop out. But here's the true story. I'm in the bathroom just a second ago before the service. I'm in the bathroom, and I'm loading it up with gasoline in a secret way because that's really what it takes. And then it just wouldn't, I wanted to test it, but it wouldn't light, it wouldn't flame. And then all of a sudden, the whole wallet catches on fire. It's burning my fingers. I dropped it. I'm going like this in the bathroom trying to put it out. It still didn't go out. Like, I think I burned my credit cards just a bit. So I put it in the sink and put water on it. True story. But praise the Lord, it's all good. Okay? Deacons, I hope I can come back and preach sometime. It's all good. I didn't burn anything. But that's the true story. It should have flamed up for you. Who has their Bible this morning? Their B-I-B-L-E, Yost, the book for me. Grab your Bibles. We're going to go into the Old Testament. That's towards the beginning of your Bible. And we're going to unpack one of the most famous passages of all the passages, specifically when it comes to the Jewish people and the Israelites and the people of God. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have a Bible, I'm going to give you a moment to find that. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. If you're not there, go, oh, no. Give you just a second. Everyone be involved. Do exactly what you see as you're finding that. Just hold that passage, Deuteronomy 6. Do exactly what you see. Thumbs up, thumbs up. The earlier crowd was still asleep, and I hope they didn't get in a wreck on the way home being asleep. But you guys are totally awake. I really believe you're awake, so I need everyone involved. Thumbs up, thumbs up. If you're at home, welcome so much to Ebenezer Baptist Church. Thank you for viewing online today. And you too can participate, all of us together. Thumbs up. Everyone involved. Now put your thumbs down. Now cross your hands. I need everyone involved. You can do this. You can do this. Cross your arms. Yep. Thumbs down. Now do a little wiggle like this. From the back to the front, everyone involved, lock your fingers together. Awesome. From the oldest to the youngest, make sure your thumbs are down. Is your thumb down, sir? Yep, keep your thumbs down tight. Keep your fingers tight. Thumbs are down. Take a deep breath. As you breathe in, do this. Breathe in. And when you breathe out, turn your thumbs up. Turn your thumbs up. Yeah, you're going to be thinking about that one the rest of the day. Put your hands together like this. Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a great passage to kick off Vacation Bible School, the very best spiritual week of your kids. And moms and dads, if your kids aren't involved yet, haven't registered yet, somehow you just got to get them here and bring some neighbors. You see, the curious might come to Christ by themselves, but the convinced will bring others to Christ. So reach out to your neighbors and be convinced of who Jesus says he is. And let's reach and teach this next generation. You see, there's three reasons why I believe that this coming week is the very best spiritual week for your kids. And I encourage you to take notes. Number one, it will all be about God. Everybody say God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says this. Everyone listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And I believe that the world thousands of years ago when Moses wrote this is not much different from the world you find yourself in today. This polytheistic type world where people believe there's many, many, many gods, and this world that has many, many idols. And you see, the Bible teaches that we exchange the worship of the Creator for the worship of the created. And the problem today is people are worshiping the creation and not worshiping the one and true Creator. Amen? So here at the beginning, it reminds us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." You see, the word Lord is Yahweh in Hebrew. And it reminds us, moms and dads, it reminds us, teenagers, it reminds us, children, that it's either Yahweh or your way. It can't be both. Yahweh or your way. And there's a way that seems right to man, but it ends in death and destruction. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man or woman comes to God the Father unless we come to God through Jesus. Yahweh, our Lord. He is one. There's only one true God that's omnipresent, omniscient, most powerful, creator of the universe. One. You know, scholars and theologians look at this and they debate over kind of what that really means. The Lord is one. I believe it means two things. It means this, that there's truly only one living God. Everything else is an illusion. Everything else is an illusion. All the other so-called gods are idols. There's only one true living God. But it also refers to this, that even though there's one God, He's made Himself known to us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see, the beautiful thing about the Trinity is there's a relationship there within the Godhead. There's only one God, but He's made Himself known to us in the three persons in which He exists: God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And even Jesus Christ is hidden in the mystery of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Jesus Christ confirms this teaching in Matthew 12, 29. The most important commandment, He says, is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." You see, church, God's made Himself known to us through creation around us. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to jot that down. Creation around us. Psalms 19, 1 through 4 says it like this: "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or words. Their voice is never heard. Yet the message has gone throughout the earth, the words to all the world." No matter who you are, no matter where you live, you see, church, all people at all times in all places can know that there's a God. From generation to generation, God's made Himself known. And it's through creation around us. If there's a creation, it tells us there must have been what, church? A creator. A creator. God's also made Himself known not just through creation around us, but our conscience within us. God's word says it like this in Romans 2, 15. "They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them that they are doing right." Raise your hand if you know something that's right and something that's wrong. Raise your hand. Anyone? You see, we all do. We all know that which is right and that which is wrong. And just the very essence and ability to have the conscience within us to know that something could be good and something could be wrong means that there's something that is ultimately good and ultimately right. And the truth is, He's got a name. Jesus Christ. He's the truth. God the Father, Jehovah. He's that which is righteous and right. God's made Himself known not just through creation around us, our conscience within us, but God has communicated through the Bible to us. Number three, communication of the Bible to us. Romans 16 says it like this: "But now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience of faith among the nations." You see, God's made Himself known through His word. If you have a Bible, say, "I've got a Bible." Awesome. The problem we have in the world today is we keep the Bible on the shelf. And we say, "Oh yeah, I've got a Bible." I'm a good American. I got a Bible. Yeah, I'm a Christian because I have a Bible. The problem we have is we leave the Bible on the shelf instead of getting the Bible in ourselves. So I'm challenging you today. You've got to get in God's Word to get God's Word in you. And my God is alive. My God's made himself known. My God speaks. And he speaks through his Word, his written Word, which is alive. And God breathed. God's also made himself known through Christ for us. I love this passage in John 1, 18. Listen to this, church. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, which is Jesus Christ, who is himself God and is in closest relationship to the Father. He has made God known. God wants to make himself known to you so much, church, to your community, to your next generation, to your children, to your grandparents, to your grandchildren. Listen to me. God stepped out of heaven and stepped upon the earth. He zipped himself up in a bodysuit called flesh. And he who knew no sin became sin, that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you want to ultimately see who God really is, you got to see the person of Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the special one who came at a special time to do a special thing for you. And for me, and his name is Jesus Christ. You see, church, listen to this. Our theme for Vacation Bible School this week is Destination Dig. And you might be looking around going, Pastor Shane, this is elaborate. This is amazing. This is so creative. Somebody even asked me, my grandfather's with me today, and my aunt's with me. My mom and dad's here hanging out with me. And they were asking, Shane, did you sleep in the tent overnight? And I'm like, no, but it's pretty cool to see this. And the concept that we're teaching the kids today is you can unearth the truth of God. And the teachers of Vacation Bible School is going to give kids shovels spiritually where they can go digging into the Word of God to see who Christ really is so they can truly know God as God's made himself known through the Word and through Christ. You see, this is amazing. There's a lot of people that might still be agnostic or atheist, and a lot of people that still might be confused about, is it just religion that God wants, or how can I really have this relationship that's personal, intimate with God? The amazing thing is this, listen to me, church. Over 500 years before Christ came, there's over 300 predictions about his life. Over 300 times in the Old Testament, it speaks of this coming Messiah, this coming Jesus Christ. And all 300 prophecies have come true. That's a miracle. I'm going to read to you just a few of them. You see in Isaiah 7 in the Old Testament, it was predicted that this Jesus would come born of a virgin. It came true in Luke chapter 1. You see, it was predicted that he would come performing miracles in the Old Testament. It speaks this in Isaiah 35. It comes true in all of the Gospels, specifically Matthew 9, 35. You see, in the Old Testament, part of these 300-something prophecies, predictions, include this one. It says that he would be betrayed by a friend for 30 silver coins. Man, that's pretty detailed. How in the world can somebody know 500 years before it ever happened that with 30 pieces of silver, Jesus Christ would be betrayed by a friend? You see, it was prophesied in Psalms 41, and it came true in Matthew 27. It even says that this Jesus would be spit upon and beaten and mocked. It says this in Psalms 22 and Isaiah 50. It comes true in Matthew 26. It says that his hands and his feet would be pierced. In the Old Testament, over 500 years before it ever happened, it was predicted. And you know what? In those days when it was spoken and predicted, they did not crucify people. So nails in your hands was not even something that they practiced or could conceive. And here it is. It came true, of course, throughout the entire Gospels, specifically John 20, 25 through 27. Of course, it speaks that he would be resurrected from the dead. Psalm 16, it comes true in Mark 16. It's amazing to see how incredible, awesome our Bible really is and how God's made himself known. So here, number one, as we talk about the importance of VBS, it's the importance of knowing that it's all about God. And specifically, your students are going to understand, and your kids will understand this week, that to understand God, you've got to understand Christ. This is not in your notes, but I encourage you to jot down a few of these on the side of your page if you'd like. I'm going to give you the top 10 things that we see. They begin with the letter C. The top 10 things that we see in the Bible about Jesus. Number one, Jesus coexisted with God, coexisted. Number two, his conception was a miracle and divine. Number three, he lived a clean and sinless life without any sin. Number four, his credentials were his miracles. He would perform these wonders and miraculous signs to prove the credibility of who he is, that he was the coming Messiah. His very own confession, Jesus Christ said he was and he is God himself. The cross and the crucifixion is that substitutionary atonement. It's that place in which he who knew no sin became sin. Jesus was punished for your sins and for my sins to make us right with God the Father. You see, the Bible teaches he came alive on that third day. The Bible also teaches that he's coming back someday, and we must be ready. And the final tenth one is that he calls us all to trust in him alone. And he's calling you even today. The second point I want you to see is this. Not only is VBS all about God, but it's also about growth. Everyone say growth. Growth. We get this from Deuteronomy 6, 5. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus confirms this in the New Testament. Jesus actually quotes this very same passage, and it's actually referred to as the Shema. Everybody say Shema. Now be honest, have you ever said that word before? Nope. Okay. Shema. Pastor Shane, what's that all about? Here's what it's about. Look at me. Even today, every day, the Jewish people will wake up in the morning, and by memory, they will say what we're about to say, the Shema. They say it once in the morning. Every time before they go to bed, they also, from memory, they recite the Shema. You see, the word Shema means hear. Everybody say hear. So right here in this passage, it talks about hear that the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then Jesus adds a fourth part. And in the New Testament, in Mark 12, 30, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And with all your strength. And of course, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So in a moment, we're going to realize that God's called us to make him known to three groups. The first group is your neighbors. The second group is the nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And the third group is the main focus for today, the next generation. Everybody say next generation. So raise your hand if you have children. Anybody have children? Awesome, awesome. I want you to know this sermon's for everyone. If you're viewing at home, if you're with us today, raise your hand if you have a mom or a dad. Anybody? There you go, there you go. So this next generation concept is what we're talking about today, of how we as parents are to love God in such a way that it's total transformation in our hearts. And then out of the overflow of loving God as a parent with total transformation, being transformed body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians says, it is God's will that you be sanctified body, soul, and spirit. And in the Bible, the word soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we know that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, even when it speaks about loving God with your heart, it's not talking about just a physical heart within you. It's talking about your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your whole being. So here in this passage, the Shema, it's a beautiful thing. It reminds us that we're to teach the next generation total transformation. There's five key words on your screen: hook, head, heart, hands, and habits. I want to walk through each of those real fast. The word hook is that word Shema, to hear. But do you know that in the Hebrew, they don't really have a great word for obey. It's the word shema. So when they would say listen, they're saying listen so you can learn and obey. It's to grab their attention, hear. And when they said hear, it's like, hey, have reverence for what I'm about to say so you can respond in obedience. So every time we hook, and I don't know if you're a public school teacher or in the education system, but I do know this, that God's called us all to disciple our children. God's called us all to teach the next generation. And it begins by hooking them in. Hooking them in. Getting their ears. Building some anticipation for the truth you're about to teach. So that word shema is like a coin. It's a coin with two sides to listen so you can obey. But there's a warning I'm going to give you with each one of these. And the warning is sensationalism. Because I'm here today to tell you the truth. Is there's way too many churches today that are getting away from anchoring everything they do in God's Word. In Christ. And they're anchoring it in the culture completely. And they're all about sensationalism. Let's do something bigger, something better, something flashier. I believe this. That it's okay to do all things that we can, as long as it's not illegal or ungodly or unbiblical. The Bible says, become all things to all people, that by some means you might win them over for Christ. But our calling, church, is not to entertain. Our calling is to equip. And I know you're going through a search committee process probably and looking for a senior pastor from what I've heard. I'm here to tell you, pray that the Lord will bring you a godly man that will equip you. God's given us pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Amen? There's a place for some entertainment and for some eye candy, so to speak, or to hook people in. But we never stop there. It's not to be isolated. Don't be in that extreme. There's a warning. But there's also a warning in this next one. Your head. That's the information. You see, I've got my family with me today, and this is so cool to have my mom and my dad and my grandfather and my aunt. Listen to me. I grew up in Commerce, Georgia, not far from here. And I was raised at First Baptist Church Commerce. And First Baptist Church is a great church, great people. But they're no different than 80% of all the churches in the nation who do this. They focus mainly own, grow. No. What can you know? What can I teach you? Let me give you information. So you show up at Sunday school, and it's information. You sat down at a church, preacher pulpit thing, it's information. You come back on Wednesday night, you attend the Wednesday night Bible study, and it's information. You come back on Sunday night discipleship, and it's more what? Information. Can I give you a warning, church? To go that extreme and just to stay in discipling people's mind and their head, the warning is intellectualism. Intellectualism. You see, Christianity is not knowing about God. Christianity is knowing God. It's an intimate experience. We've got to move it from information to motivation. We've got to move it from head to heart. The third point here is your heart. You know, my mom didn't grow up at First Baptist Commerce. My mom grew up at a little place called Isla. Anybody ever heard of Isla? True story. On the front sign of the church she grew up, it said this, Fire Baptist Pentecostal Holiness Church. Let me hit rewind. I'll say it one more time. All of that was on the front sign of the church. Fire Baptist Pentecostal Holiness Church. I'm here to tell you, man, I don't think they handled snakes, but they had a good holy time. You know what I'm saying? It was a happy place. My mom was talking about, man, they'd scream and shout and run around sometimes, and they really worshiped God, and it was from the heart. And I'm not making fun or belittling or anything. I'm here to tell you, maybe churches in America need to be a little bit more heart connected to the heartbeat of God. But the warning is emotionalism if that's all we have. Because we've got to know the Word. In this world full of lies, we've got to know the truth. And it's got to be taught and preached correctly. You see, Christianity is not intellectualism. Christianity is not even emotionalism. It's the head, the heart, and the hands. Everybody say hands. The hands. You know, the Bible says faith without works is dead, that we should be using our hands. We should have skills as a Christian, skills in how we witness and evangelize, skills in how we memorize God's word and study God's word, skills, hands, abilities. My prayer became a few years ago as I resigned from pastoring at churches to travel as an evangelist. My prayer became, Father God, use all of me to help make known all of you, God, to all of them. Use my pain, my past, use my personality, use my strengths, use all of me. I want to serve you with my whole heart, all my hands. That could be your prayer every day. You see, Christianity is not about doing to achieve. Christianity is done, D-O-N-E, because of what Jesus did. He achieved what we could not, but it's our job to receive. You see, Christianity is not about achievement, but receivement. It's the work that God did to make you right with God the Father through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being punished for your sins. And because of His great work for you, now we're invited to join Him in His great work of knowing Him and making Him known to the next generation, to our neighbors, and to the nations. The warning here, though, if we hang out and just do hands, is legalism. Legalism. And I'm sure some of you maybe were brought up in a church where it seemed like nothing but a checklist, checklist, checklist. Have you done this? Can you do this? Do this, do that, do this, do that. Checklist, checklist. And as we disciple our children, I've got four boys and a girl, like I've said, and I've had to remind myself in my own parenting to them, am I presenting Christianity as legalism, emotionalism, intellectualism? How am I discipling my kids? And I'm here to encourage you, church. It's got to be holistic. It's got to be balanced with all of this as we do the number one job that God's given us to do. You see, our number one job is to be the disciple makers of our kids. Our number one job is to be the spiritual leader in our home to raise up the next generation, that they too might know Him and make Him known. The fifth and final one on this point is habits. Habits. And that's total transformation. So we go from listening to learning to loving to laboring and now the lifestyle. 24/7, 365. But the hang-up, the warning, is perfectionism. You see, there's a lot of people that think, you know what, if I'm not perfect, God doesn't love me, and what I've got to do is be perfect. And there's even some ministers that might portray themselves to be perfect, but I'm here to tell you, I almost caught the bathroom on fire. You with me? I'm not perfect. You see, God's not looking, moms and dads, for your perfection. I've made many mistakes. My oldest son is 24. He's married. My second son is at Bible college. My third son just graduated high school last week. I've got one more son that's going to graduate next year, and then my baby girl is 13, and she's on her way. It's not perfection, but progression. It's not perfection, but progression that God's looking for. Have you taken another step of obedience with Christ? You see, it's a journey with Jesus. Are you walking in the right direction, or are you taking the right steps to progress your faith? It's all about growth. I love what John 14:21 says. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. 1 John 4:19 reminds us that we love Him because He first loved us. Moms and dads, God's not called you to make a dollar. God has not called you to make a dollar. God's called you to make disciples. A disciple is somebody who wants to learn from Jesus so they can look like Jesus. Moms and dads, it begins with us. Are we learning from Jesus that we look like Jesus and reflect that and model that and make our kids aware of who God is by them looking at our lifestyle? Our number one job as parents is to be the disciple maker of our homes, to teach them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hook, head, heart, hands, and habits. Let's look at the third one, and we'll be done. generational disciple making. VBS exists for God, for growth, and for generational disciple making. Everybody say generational. I love this passage. Verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. The Bible says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Jesus confirms this when he says in the Great Commission. Not only does Jesus speak of the great commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but the Great Commission. Therefore, all authority has been given to Christ, and he speaks to us and he says, go and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach. Everyone say teach. There it is again. Jesus is expecting all of us, not just your pastors, not just your ministers, but all moms and dads, all grandparents have a sphere of influence. They have a platform of influence in the lives of their family members. If you've adopted a child, if you're a foster parent, if they're your biological children, I want you to know this. This church is a great church, but it's not a substitute for you. Vacation Bible School is going to be an amazing week. Don't let it be the only spiritual week that your kids have. I'm here to tell you, Mom and Dad, you can be encouraged. You can do this. You can do this. You can teach 24/7, 365. It's a lifestyle. It's as you are going. The main verb in the Great Commission when Jesus says, go and make disciples, it's not the word go, it's make disciples. And when you look at the Greek words, it means this, as you are going, you're to make disciples. The same thing here in Deuteronomy, it says, parents, as you rise up, as you walk along your day, as you sit at the house, as you lie down at night, it's as you're going through your life that you're teaching and you're making disciples, generational disciple making. You see, disciple-making, not dollar-making, is our mission. It's not what you leave to your kids that matters, but it's what you leave in your kids that matters. I'm going to give you five things here. Let's look at each of these for a second. I call it wake-up time, drive time, meal time, media time, and bedtime. That's how we can immerse our kids 24/7, 365. But I want you to notice that number one is integrity. Because it begins with moms and dads. It begins with grandparents. It begins with us as adults. The Bible says, the commands I've given you parents, those commands that are on your hearts, moms and dads, it cannot bypass you. The church is here to supplement you, never to substitute you. The church's programs can strengthen your family if you partner with us and us partner with you, but we can never substitute who you are and who God's put you there in their lives to be responsible for them spiritually. So it begins with us, integrity upon our hearts first. And then it's intentional. The word intentional there is to impress them upon your children, or some translations might say, repeat these things or teach diligently these things. And what it means is to sharpen your kids intensely and purposefully. We do a lot of things intentionally, don't we, moms and dads? We spend our times intentionally on certain priorities, don't we, dads and moms? And here in this passage, it reminds us to be intentional on our children's spiritual growth. We can instruct them, number three, talk about them. Talk about them when? Number four, immerse them in spiritual environments, in your car, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in your home. Wake up time. What do you do in the mornings when your kids wake up? How do you help them connect with God? Maybe through a prayer time. Maybe through reciting a verse of Bible before they get on the school bus. You find out what's best for you and your family, but take advantage of teachable opportunities and moments. The second one, drive time. In your car, what music are you listening to? Is it spiritually impacting their souls? Conversations that you're having. Kids want conversations with you, moms and dads. The music that you're listening to, bring up, say, I wonder what that lyric means. The lady that wrote that song, how do you think she views the world and the problems in the world? And what do you think the answer is that she's or he suggesting in that music through the media? There's different ways that we can disciple our kids. Even mealtime used to be, and I love this with my family. I grew up and we would all sit down around the table at least once. Prioritize your family and time together as a family and sit down in the living room, the table, be together as you can to have spiritual conversations. On Saturday nights before church, get your kids ready, spiritually anticipating what's happening in the morning. Every Sunday as you leave the church, carry this conversation of this truth you've been preached at and taught into your homes and at your mealtimes. Talk about what do you think the preacher meant with that, or what did you get out of this? And then, of course, bedtime as we lie down, what things can you do to help connect your kids to the heart of God? So maybe the last thing that they hear and the last thing they say is their relationship with God before they go goodnight. And then we end with imitate. Imitate. In verse 2, we didn't read verse 2, but if you look at it, it talks about passing it on to their children and to their children, and then that their children might pass it on to their children. And there's this multiplication, this reproduction, this passing our faith along. You can do this, moms and dads. I've just given you some great tips on how to explain to your children, much like digging up the truths of Christ will teach your kids this week, that there is a God and He's made Himself known, that we can grow in such a way that we love God with all of our head, heart, hands, and habits. And then finally, parents, we can have hearts of integrity as we disciple our kids. We don't have to be perfect, but we do need to be progressing in a love relationship with God, that we might model that to our children and help carry them on this journey with you, with Jesus, as we disciple them, wake up time, drive time, meal time, media time, and bedtime. Does that make sense, church? I pray that every week can be a very biblical, spiritual VBS week for you and for your family. You know, there's a fourth thing that I didn't put into your notes, but I just wanted to close with this. And it's the gospel. The gospel. You see, there's the importance of God, growth, generational disciple making, but also the gospel. And that's what VBS is all about this week. And I pray that you'd reach out to more neighbors and more friends and have them attend this week. And if you haven't signed up to serve, be sure you see the church staff and say, hey, use me to make a difference in the next generation. But the main thing I wanted to point out right now is how simple the gospel is. But so many churches and so many people can get it confused with religion. And it's not religion. It's a relationship with God. I'm going to close with an illustration up here that's a cool illusion, actually. I want to show you this. I've got a couple chairs back here. I'm going to bring out both chairs and illustrate something for you real fast. You see this chair right here, it's going to represent you, represent me, it's going to represent our children and the next generation. Does that look normal to you? Does that look right to you? What's wrong with that? How do you know something's wrong with that? Say it again. Yes, upside down. Do you know that's what we look like in this world today? It doesn't take but a few seconds to look around and go, whoa, 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 time out. This world's broken. This is a broken world because of sin. Things are upside down. People are hurting people, killing people. It's amazing to see how far away our culture and our world has come from God. The problem with a broken world full of sin and sinful people is this. You see, this is God, and this is how we were created. And in the beginning, God had a relationship, and we had a connection with God. But the Bible says all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And because of Adam and Eve and their first disobedience to turn away from God, they walked farther away from God because of sin, and sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you've ever wanted to stay, and it'll cost you more than you've ever wanted to pay. There's a problem, but there's also a solution. The problem requires a consequence. We are unholy and imperfect, but God has remained the same. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Shh, shh, listen, 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 listen. Shh. Can you hear it? Shh, shh. On the edge of heaven, this second, the angels are speaking and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." You see, they're not saying love, 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 love. God is love. We wouldn't know what love is without God. And you can't have love unless you have God, because God is love. But listen, the Bible's saying He is also holy. 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 Perfect. And the wages of sin is death. There's a wrath. There's a punishment coming because of the consequence of our disobedience and our sin. And God says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 I'm going to send Jesus down at the right time." And when Jesus came to earth, it was like He stood between heaven and earth. And with one hand, He's like, "God, hold on, wait. Don't punish them yet." And with one hand, He's holding away God's wrath with mercy, not giving us what we deserve. And with the other hand, He's like, "You got a short time. Can you come? Will you come? I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you that which you don't deserve, but you got to come now. Come quick." And the wrath of God was poured out 2,000 years ago upon Jesus. And He who knew no sin became sin, that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The solution is that Jesus was punished for your sins and for my sins, and that He rose again victorious, and He's alive again today. It looks like this. Let me close by showing you this last thing. I brought with me a bridge. Let's lay it right here. Can you guys see the bridge? Yeah. The bridge is what color on the top? This bridge is the solution, church. You see, Jesus bridged the gap between God and man. And He made a way when there seemed to be no way for us to come back to God. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. It was His final sacrifice that makes atonement, at one-ment, for you to be restored back to God. And if you've never trusted Jesus today to make you right with God the Father, no matter what age you are, from grandparents to children, today it's a choice away. You see, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son on that cross to take your punishment, that whosoever now today might believe in this, in His death, burial, and resurrection, might not die and perish and be in hell forever, but might have eternal life. I'm going to ask that a volunteer come on stage and just sit on this bridge to illustrate what it looks like when we trust Jesus. Can I have a young guy? Maybe a young volunteer? Awesome, buddy. Can you come on up here? Let me get a little stool for him. You guys encourage him as he comes. Awesome. What's up, buddy? I tell you what, I want you to sit right here on this side for me, okay? Oh, wait, I tell you what, stand right here for a second before you do that. You see, Jesus made a way. Jesus has done His work, and now He's waiting for you and for me to do our one thing. You see, God's already said yes to you, and He's waiting for you and for me to say yes to Him, and we must turn back to God. Repent, turn away from sin, and turn back to God. But it's only through Jesus, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, buddy, what's your name? Emmett, that's an awesome name. I want you to sit here on this side. Step up there on the stool. Yep, sit right here on this side. Awesome. You're doing great. What grade are you in, buddy? fifth grade. And are you married yet? Okay, just checking. Fifth grade, you're doing great. I'm going to ask that your shoulders and head kind of hang off on this side, and your feet's going to come over here on this side, okay? Go ahead and move your feet over here. Yeah, buddy, good job. Now lay all the way back exactly where you are. It's just going to take a few seconds, and something amazing will happen. Put your hands up here and touch my hand. Awesome. This is what it looks like to trust Jesus. We don't trust him with our head, but with our head, heart, hands, and habits, our whole being, we trust Jesus. And it's only through his blood that we can be forgiven if we trust in Christ alone. Lay your head back. I want you to pretend like you're falling asleep. If this works, it's going to work for a few seconds, and everyone needs to clap. Keep your hands up here praising God. When you trust Jesus to make you right with God, it looks something like this. Go ahead and close your eyes. You're doing great. Awesome. You guys ready to clap for him? You're doing great. Stay right there. Yes. Awesome, big man. Awesome. Stay just like that. You are an amazing, amazing young man. Open up your eyes. Awesome. Go ahead and raise up. You guys encourage him one more time as he goes back to his seat. Dad, did you get a picture of that? Awesome. Go back and have a seat. Great job. Let's close out in a praise song. I want everyone to close their eyes as I just pray for you at this moment. Everyone, close your eyes and let me pray for you. Father God, as we come to you in worship and singing this song, from our heart to your heart, God, I pray that for someone today, maybe someone viewing at home, that they would call out to you, Jesus, and say, Jesus, I need you more today than I did yesterday. Maybe there's a mom or a dad here today that would say, Pastor Shane, this has been helpful. I've learned at least one thing today. And maybe the thing that you've learned the most is this, that true Christianity isn't about you trying to achieve through religious activity, but it's you receiving the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And maybe today there's a mom and a dad that would be saved. There's a grandparent that would be saved saying, Jesus, I trust you today. Make me right with God. Forgive me my mistakes. Maybe there's a teenager or a child today that would say, I want to be like that young man who's there just floating, trusting in the power of God. Not any power that he brings to the table. And they say yes to the God who's already said yes to them. So if that's you here today, there's going to be a few ministers at the front of the stage, and they're going to have a chance to pray for you, to talk with you. There'll just be a couple pastors here. If there's any questions you have about Christianity, about baptism, if you'd like to trust Jesus today to be saved, the gospel is good news for you right now. You're not even promised tomorrow, the Bible says. So I'm going to pray that you come while the hand of grace and mercy is in place through the person of Jesus. Will you come to him? Moms and dads, I pray that you'd surrender your home to God today. You're the number one spiritual leader, the number one disciple maker, and you can do this through the power of God and through his word. I pray that you would walk and talk with God every day, that you might model, motivate, and mentor your kids on how to walk and talk with God too. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.